Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
One genetically modified hot potato.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Europeans haven't been so keen on the notion of genetically modified crops, and yet lawmakers there are on the brink of approving a specially engineered potato. The thing is, you can't eat this particular Frankenstein tuber. I talked to our Stephen Beard this morning in London about what you can do with it.
It tastes terrible. That's why you don't eat it. It's genetically engineered to produce a particular starch, which is used to make things like adhesive cement and the outer coating of glossy paper. And it's the product of the German chemical giant BASF.
So obviously that company wouldn't go to the trouble to make this and get it approved if it didn't make it a lot of money, right?
That is certainly what BASF is hoping. We're not talking small potatoes here, Lisa. In fact, they've spent a bundle on it already and some 20 years of research effort developing it.
Now, I know you European types aren't so keen on these genetically modified crops. So is this going to get accepted for use in Europe?
The European Commission has been under tremendous pressure by the World Trade Organization, which ruled that the banning of genetically modified crops amounts to an illegal trade barrier. So it does look as if the Commission will approve this, and this will be the first genetically modified crop to be approved for cultivation in Europe in the last decade.
Even if it gets approved, Stephen, I can't imagine that people are going to be happy about the very existence of this product.
No, there's going to be a lot of opposition from environmentalists, for sure, because this potato contains a gene for antibiotic resistance. And if that does get out into the environment, it could make it more difficult to kill bacteria that infect humans and animals.
That's our London bureau chief, Stephen Beard. The drug company Roche has recalled the AIDS-fighting drug called Virisept. It turns out something about the manufacturing process creates a cancer-causing contaminant. Until the problem is fixed, tens of thousands of AIDS patients are struggling to cope. From the health desk at WGBH, Helen Palmer has more.
Virisept's not a frontline AIDS drug in the West, but it's vital and cheap in the developing world where there's a lack of alternatives.
They're not always widely available, and the reason is largely cost.
Asia Russell of the AIDS advocacy group HealthGap. She says Virisept costs about 28 cents a day in poor countries. Alternatives cost three times as much. Russell says Roche hasn't taken responsibility to ensure these patients are still getting life-saving drugs.
Roche has to clean up its act and pay for the cost of switching these patients from Virisept to an alternative regimen.
Roche says it will pay reasonable costs to remedy the situation. The company's been talking to Pfizer, which also makes Virisept, about an alternative supply of the drug. But Pfizer says it's only licensed to sell Virisept in Canada and the US, where a day's supply costs about $10. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
And on Wall Street Monday, the Dow closed up 92 to 13,943. The Nasdaq closed up 3 to 2690. And the S&P closed up 7 to 1541. And now for some programming options to make federal antitrust regulators happy. Sirius Radio and XM are saying if the government allows them to merge, they'll offer up an a la carte pricing package. It's not clear yet whether the price options are enough for regulators to cinch approval of the deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment. At publictransportation.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, shrm.org.
Today's the day the minimum wage goes up for the first time in 10 years. The 70-cent increase boosts the wage to $5.85 an hour.
Then there are the workers who don't get paid at all. Many summer interns are happy to exchange their time for experience, even if it's for free. Those who do get paid a tiny something could pose problems for employers if they try to skirt the law, as Brett Bruhn reports.
Summertime and the living is easy.
That's definitely not the theme song for one company selling cool drinks this hot summer. Honest Tea in Bethesda, Maryland is jumping with activity. Sales are on pace to double this year. To handle that rush, they are beholden to the summer intern. The company hired 20 college students to roam the country for 10 weeks. They're handing out samples of thirst quenchers like Green Dragon Tea and Cranberry Lemonade. CEO Seth Goldman.
Part of what we're offering with the interns is the chance for consumers to connect a face to our brand.
This year, Goldman switched from paying interns a flat $300 a week to an hourly wage. Now they're averaging $350 a week. Goldman's move is mindful of the Fair Labor Standards Act. That's the minimum wage law that's been around for nearly 70 years. Labor lawyer Mark Zimmerman says more and more employers are becoming acutely aware of the law. He says that follows heightened interest by state and federal departments of labor. Companies that don't comply can face fines, penalties, and lawsuits.
Employees are aware of their rights. Generally speaking, if someone provides essential services for the benefit of the employer that others are paid to do, would normally be paid to do, or have in the past been paid to do, well, that's a red flag that the person will be considered an employee.
Even so, interns are vulnerable. Employment law professor David Yamada says they're too scared to complain about pay or lack thereof.
Students face the real risk of retaliation and even blackballing for filing a minimum wage complaint against an internship employer.
Yamada says unpaid internships are widespread, but that doesn't mean they're all legal. He says companies breaking the law should know they're risking legal action and limiting opportunities for college kids who are less well-off.
Unpaid internships have a social class impact because many students cannot afford to work for free for an entire summer.
This has long-term consequences. Studies show nearly half of all internships turn into full-time jobs. In Los Angeles, I'm Brett Bruhn for Marketplace.
And I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.